The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
We're also joined for the entire hour by former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. A pleasant good evening to you from the downtown Score Studios, home of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. And there is a lot to talk about, guys, including the big news today. The Bears announcing this afternoon that safety Chris Conte underwent shoulder surgery in late March, recovery period 4 to 5 months. He's going to be sidelined until training camp. Tom, what does this mean for the Bears?
Well, you knew it was going to be a competitive position by all the signings in the offseason. But now added to the mix of competition for Chris Conte exclusively and specifically is not only rehabbing your shoulder, but making sure that you rehab it and it's ready for contact. If you go out there and you're kind of shying away from one portion of your tackling ability, or you're not 100% confident that you can go up and make contact, teams become aware of that immediately. So I think it's a double-edged sword here. Where not only the competition they're going to bring in to try to earn that spot, but it's also how Chris Conte attacks his rehabilitation and how ready he is when he feels that he's, you know, in position to make tackles again.
Jim, how much do you think this had to do with his play last season? Or is it too easy to just blame it on the shoulder when you look at the levels of defense ahead of him that suffered in a tremendous way, both on the field and with injuries last year? Talk about the defensive line and the linebacker positions.
Yeah, well, first off, I would say that the timing's a little bit perplexing. I mean, obviously the Bears have signed a couple of safeties to protect themselves, probably knowing that Chris Conte was ailing or injured, and granted, a lot of guys play with injuries throughout the season, so that is not uncommon. What I would ask is, hey, why wait so long to get the surgery? Maybe it's something they just thought would heal over time, and it wasn't reacting in a positive manner where they elected to go in and do surgery, and now it leaves them as a question mark for training camp. Is he going to be able to physically hit to go in there and compete and show everything that he needs to show to earn a spot on the Bears roster? It wouldn't exclude the drafts. I still think potentially safety could be added to the draft depending on the severity of injury. And certainly, you know, it's a question mark of whether he'll even be healthy to start the season when you look at Chris Conte. But, you know, when you wait that long to get a surgery, it really puts the crunch on the timetable, as Tom Thayer just mentioned.
I think it has a lot to do with, you know, and you're seeing the same thing occur in Carolina, where Cam Newton elected to wait a little bit before having ankle surgery, and that's going to knock him out for a little bit. And when you lose a quarterback and you're trying to put an offense together with new receivers, that's a big deal as well. But I think he tried to allow it to heal naturally. It wasn't happening. And then there comes that point where if you don't get the surgery done at the time that he got it done, now you're talking about potentially missing most of training camp. And I don't think that's something that he wanted to do.
Yeah, well, you know, he made the decision, obviously, to get the surgery. Cam Newton's injury had been nagging him for about 4 years. So it was nothing that they didn't know. It actually happened to him in college. And then finally they elected to do the surgery on it. If it's affecting your play, I'm a player, I had no problem going in against surgery. If that's what it's going to take me to get healthy, then you got to do it. But again, now the clock is working against you to get 100% to compete for a roster spot. If you know it's a factor, you know what the issues are, go in and get it done. That way you give yourself the best chance possible to return to the field.
Something that I want to point out is that the Bears have this offseason spent time addressing safety. They've signed 4 safeties since the start of free agency, including bringing back Craig Steltz, who's primarily been a special teamer but did have that game in Minnesota this past season. Ryan Monday, they brought him over from the Giants. M.D. Jennings from the Packers, and Danny McRae, who's primarily a special teamer, they brought him over from the Cowboys. What's interesting to me, Tom, is that the Bears would announce this and make it public with the draft looming next month. Is that a smart move to let the world know that, hey, we're looking for safety, or is that part of a plan to make everyone think that that's the direction the Bears are going in with the 14th overall pick?
Well, I don't think it's any secret to try to keep it away out of the media in every way, shape, or form. There is the media these days with Chris Conte. Just let it be known that this is a process that he's going through in the point of his career that most a lot of players will go through at some point in their career, and that will be one of the challenges and the adversities they face personally. But again, I don't think it's ever been a secret that the desperate need for improved safety play is included in this year's picture and including the whole defense. So whether the Chris Conte was 100% coming to start of OTAs, even before the draft, I think the Bears are still focusing on improving that position significantly. And so Chris has to be 100% to make sure that he's protected as an NFL player outside the Bears. But then the Bears have never been shying away from the fact that this is a position they looked at in free agency, they will look at in the draft, because if it doesn't improve, they can't go compete in this division with the ideas of winning it when you look at the weapons and guys like Calvin Johnson and the abilities of Aaron Rodgers.
And that's actually a terrific point, Tom, because and here, Zach, you're mentioning about the signings of Ryan Mundy and MD Jennings. Those guys have played in games. Those are insurance signings for that position. And the more and more you hear about the upcoming draft, two positions that are deep, there are really good safeties when you look at the top safeties in this draft. And the more and more you look at the corners, there is a ton of depth at the corner position. So finding secondary help in the draft, whether you got to trade up or trade down to target your guy, there is depth in this draft that Phil Emery, one, has already addressed as a general manager of the Bears. But if it's there and you can upgrade, he has that opportunity to do that as well in the upcoming 2014 draft.
This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you here on the radio program. A lot to discuss. The Bears also today agreeing to terms on a one-year contract with offensive lineman Eben Britton. He was a vital part in their big package last year on offense. And before we get to that, though, I'm looking at the phone lines, and we are pleased to be joined right now by a special guest, the biggest free agent signing so far by Phil Emery and the Bears this offseason, and that would be a man who is celebrating his 32nd birthday today. That would be former Minnesota Viking, the defensive end, Jared Allen, who joins us here on Bears All Access for the first time. Jared, what did you do today to celebrate birthday number 32?
Oh, nothing. I was door shopping this morning, and then a couple interviews, and just hanging out with the family.
Well, Jared,
nothing crazy.
Well, Jared, happy birthday to you. Jim Miller here again. I talked to you the other day. Welcome to the Windy City. Yep. I know Chicago is excited to have you, and just maybe your thoughts of staying in division, a division you know very well, and it's going to probably serve you as you move forward as a Chicago Bear very well also.
Yeah, you know, that's something. I mean, obviously, I'm very comfortable in the division, so that's exciting. You know, I mean, obviously, I've competed in that division for many years. I'm going to continue to do it. So, you know, the cool part for me is now I get to, do it from a little different angle. And, you know, I know what it's like to compete, prepare for the Chicago offense, and I'm excited to have that powerhouse on my side now and get to go out and play a little defense with a lead, hopefully, and so, you know, we're just thrilled. We're thrilled to be a part of the Bears family. We're thrilled to get in Chicago and go play in the historic Soldier Field and be a part of this organization.
You know, Jared, this comp there, and I never thought I'd be speaking to you on this side of the fence. I've admired your play for so many years doing the broadcast, but you're one of those guys that we've always played against the Bears. But, you know, Jared, your track record has never been easy. You're a fourth-round draft choice, Idaho State. You go to Kansas City. You go to Minnesota. But with those two organizations, there's a great history of defenders that you're kind of leaving in your rearview mirror, and then you're pulling up to a defensive a franchise that has great historics in its own defenses. You know, can you talk a little bit about some of the personalities that you were able to meet in Kansas City, in Minnesota, defensively speaking, and then you think about the recent Hall of Famers like Dan Hampton and Richard Dent in Chicago. You know, you're a part of the history of football now, and just talk a little bit about your past before you even made it to Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been blessed to be in great organizations my whole career. you know, Kansas City, I developed great relationships with Neil Smith. Bobby Bell, you know, all those guys down there. I mean, you know, Trent Green, obviously got to play with Tony. Excuse me. Got to play with Tony Gonzalez. Got to play with Willie Rofe. Will Shields. I mean, just a laundry list of you know, Hall of Fame or future Hall of Fame players. And then going to Minnesota, I got to be a part of what, you know, what Minnesota has always put together is just, you know, great D linemen. And to go up there and get to meet, you know, Goldman and Coach Wiggins and Randall and Alan Page. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And to be able to talk with these guys and be a part of what they laid down as a foundation, you know, guys like, you know, Jim Marshall, and, you know, just to really be able to befriend these guys and be a part of it, such a great organization over there, and with such rich history in D-linemen, and do the things I did over there. And then, you know, obviously got to know Coach Singletary over the years, and, you know, obviously I've had a great deal of respect for the Chicago Bears just about the way they play defense, the foundation or the organization in general.
Visiting Bears defensive end Jared Allen here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I wanted to ask you, because there was not a long recruiting process with the Bears before this thing materialized, but in the brief conversations that you had with Phil Emery, Mark Trestman, and defensive coordinator Mel Tucker, as well as the defensive line coach Paul Pasqualoni, did you get an idea of what kind of defense the Bears are going to run? Because it's going to be very different than the defense that the Bears have run essentially for the last decade.
It's going to be a traditional. It's going to be a 4-3 defense, I might not have the double A gap walk-ups all the time like I used to see back in the day, but it's still going to be a good defense. I mean, you look at the guys you got. You got Briggs. You got Tillman. You got Jennings on the corners, and Ralph being healthy in the middle, myself coming in. You look at the mix between vets and youth, and it's exciting. And after talking to coaches, you know, and being able to ask them and knowing their coaching styles and who they've worked with, and seeing guys that I have very similar styles with have success in under their tutelage and in their styles of defense, that's kind of what made me realize, like, okay, this is, we're going to have some success here. You know, each of the individual coaches in their own right have had success at different organizations, and you bring that together. And the more time I get to spend around the coaches and see how they interact together, I mean, really, there's no egos. Everybody's in it for the same reason. And that's what you like. And there's already open communication at this point. It's only going to get better once the season starts.
Well, Jared, let's be honest. It's very rare you land a whale in division. I mean, you guys were fortunate to land Brett Favre. It was a year after he went to the Jets, but it's a pretty big deal. But I go back to the knowledge in division. One, you faced Matt Khalil in training camp the past few years at the left tackle position. You already know Bakhtiari up there for Green Bay Packers, or even Riley Reiff for the Detroit Lions. And I think Bushrod is probably one of the best left tackles, and he's on your team now when you look at left tackles.
Yeah, absolutely. Bushrod, you know, he always gives you some difficulty. He definitely knows how to chop that arm down and really throw you off. So excited to have him on the same team. Khalil's a heck of a player. I mean, you know, really, Bakhtiari did a good job up there in Green Bay, and Strife just coming in. He's obviously a young talent up in Detroit. So, there's some comfortability knowing the who you're going to see in the division every week, or week in and week out, and having, you know, game tape of yourself playing against those people to prepare for. So, from that standpoint, it's awesome. I'm excited. I'm excited to go play against Khalil now in a live setting. He's a young, talented player. He's going to test me, and that's what football is about, is testing yourself and rising to the challenge. I'm more excited just about, you know, what our team presents in general. I mean, when I look at the buildup of this team, and again, it's on paper, we got to stay healthy. We got to go to camp and prove it. But, you know, when an offense can score points like the Bears offense can, you know, you really can force teams to be one dimensional. If you can get a couple score lead, and we plan on being much better in the run defense, then you can just really get after people. And so that's what we're looking forward to do, being aggressive and really improving our run defense from a year ago and getting after people. And like I said, I mean, with the way this team's put together, I mean, you have a chance to win every game when you step on the field, and that's all you can ask for. Now it's up to the players to go out there and play.
You know, Jared, the Bears have a great fan base, and we're all so familiar with the way you rush from the outside and disturb the quarterback. But how do you develop a relationship with the guys to your inside so you make sure you're still the same Jared Allen that's the weapon we've always become familiar with? And, you know, a little bit about the relationship to the inside of you.
You know, it's going to take reps. And that stuff happens in the offseason and through camp, through OTAs and mini camps and training camp. You just, you know, when that rush group gets put together, knowing who you have in there, it's just reps and communication. You know, I got had 6 great years with Kevin up in Minnesota. I knew where he was going to be. On his first third step, I could tell by how the offensive line set us where he was going to go. And that just takes time. It's constant communication, understanding guys' styles of rush, understanding where their strengths are and playing to that, and then knowing within the defense. Where we have liberty within the defense to take advantage of and make moves and have some freedom to play. And so, that'll come over time and over reps, and, it'll only get better and better as the year goes on and years go on.
New Bears defensive end Jared Allen with us here on Bears All Access. Jared, you said something very interesting at your introductory press conference earlier in the week at Hallis Hall. You said that there are areas where you can still improve, and you look at the stats and you've had at least 11 sacks for 7 consecutive seasons. So where are the areas where you can get better at the age of 32 in this league?
I always think I can get better. I always think I can be more disruptive, more productive. I mean, heck, I haven't made every tackle of every game yet. So I got 30 seconds to improve. I think, look, just even last year, go back watching film, I probably missed 4 or 5 sacks that were in my hands. That to me is unacceptable. It happens, but those are the things I look at as being more consistent from that standpoint. If I can get my hands up to bat more balls, I didn't have a pick last year, and that's something that was disappointing because I dropped one in the last game. But I just look at overall areas, consistently being more potent on the point of attack on tight ends. I'm constantly breaking down on my own worst critic and I look at, from last year to this year, training wise, you really want to, add a little something to that first step of my get off, really be more aggressive in that area. And so I'm always nitpicking stuff here and there. And like I said, until I can win outright defensive player of the year, or I can make every single tackle on the field, or I can, whatever, I always feel like there's ways to improve, and you always got to improve. And, I'll never, anybody that sits there and tell you they never get beat is a liar. And so if a guy can beat you once, you got to work hard to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Well, everybody reminds you when it's your birthday and you're on the other side of 30, don't they, Jared? I mean, seriously, but when you look at your style of play, cause there's so much left in the tank, your motor, what you can do. I'd like to know if, like you, Lance Briggs, Peanut Tillman, Jeremiah Ratliff, what are you guys going to do to get together? Do you have a powwow to set the tone of where this defense needs to be?
You know what? We have. I'm sure once we get into the locker room, get around each other, we'll talk. But, in my opinion, I mean, this is – you got guys like Tillman and Briggs. I mean, this is their locker room. This is their defense. I'm going to come in and fit in where I need to and do what I do and just continue alongside of them on the type of leadership they put forth. I got nothing but respect for them and just knowing their reputations. They were not satisfied with last year, and I guarantee they're working to rectify that. And so, for me, it's not about rah-rah speeches or anything like that. It's just about, putting your hard hat on and going to work day in and day out. And if everybody else sees the guys who are productive on Sunday putting in the time and the effort and doing the little things right, they're going to follow suit.
Jared, it's going to be interesting with the addition also of Lamar Houston and Willie Young. There's divisional experience with Willie Young, but I think there's an opportunity for Lamar Houston to really gain some experience and get into this team. How do you fit in with the other defensive ends, even the other ones you played with your other stops? Do you talk specifically about their get off against right tackles, against a left tackle get off, or how do you intermix with the other defensive ends?
Our techniques are, pass rushing techniques are all the same. Right? Do them from different angles, right? You just got to figure out, what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are and play to those. And so, for me, it's more of, you know, answering questions of the guy, hey, how do you do this? Or if he has a question of a set, you know, if I see this set, what should I do? Just kind of working, being available for guys. You know, you're out there working, you're competing. If you see a guy, you know, get beat and you can help him on a technique, you help him, and vice versa. I mean, and, you know, I would encourage those guys to talk to the offensive lineman too. I learned so much about rushing the passing from talking with Willie Rofe and understanding how to beat a guy of that caliber. You know, that helps a lot.
If you're watching a right tackle that's a little susceptible, do you kind of try to fight over there to get a rep on the right second long or third down?
No,
or
no.
Are you content with being on your side and letting the other guy take a rep?
Hey, I'm content. I think, you know, you don't want to ever get out of position. There was a game last year I hurt my neck, or I'm sorry, 2 years ago. I got a neck spasm, you know, like in the fourth quarter against the Niners, and me and B-Rob switched sides. It was like two fish out of water, right? So I take all my reps on the right, he takes all his left, so we switched back, you know. You know, I play right end. I mean, now if I take reps at it and the coach wants us to bounce around and take advantage of the matches up, that's fine. And as long as I get reps at it and I feel I can be productive at that, then I'll do it. But in that case, no, you got to hope that guy wins. If that guy is in the left end spot and it's his job to win the one-on-one, my job is to take care of business on the right side.
Now, Jared, before we let you go, I know that when you were with the Vikings, you were very active in the community with Wounded Warriors, and you had that Night Ops golf tournament in Arizona. Are you bringing that stuff to Chicago now with you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think it's our responsibility to always give back to the community that supports us. And in my foundation, what we do is we build and remodel homes and make them handicap accessible for our wounded vets coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. We always have a fall gala, so we'll have a fall gala in Chicago, you know, this year. You know, a Night Ops tournament directly, all that money directly goes to our foundation, and you know, we have it in Arizona because obviously I spend my off season in Arizona, but and it's not snowing, so so it's a cool tournament. We play half our holes in the day and half the holes at night. We glow in the dark balls, and we got military presents, everything. I'm a big component of the military. Just my whole family is the military. My little brother is actually deployed right now, and my grandfather served 23 years in the Marine Corps, and I got uncles and all that good stuff that served. So that's kind of where we drive our efforts, and I guarantee we'll be doing some homes in Chicago. Like I said, we'll have a gala, we'll have a bunch of events, and you know, go visit all of our soldiers and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm huge in giving back to the community, so we'll be bringing all that stuff with us to Chicago.
Good stuff, Jared. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your birthday.
Thank you much. Take care, guys.
New Bears defensive end Jared Allen spending some time with us here on Bears All Access. Guys, we have to take a timeout. When we come back, let's play Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Line them up. Football questions galore for Tom Thayer, the best caller of the segment, according to Judge Jim Miller, will receive a gift certificate to Sports Authority. 312-644-6767. Ask Tom is next with Tom Thayer right here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. BearsCare is bringing Bears fans another unique and exclusive opportunity to partake in this year's NFL Draft through the 2014 On the Clock Raffle. Visit chicagobears.com/on the clock to purchase raffle tickets and be entered to win. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. And guys, it's time to play Ask Tom. Best caller of the segment. Just rapid-fire football questions for Tom. Anything's fair game in the world of the NFL for Tom. The best caller of the segment, according to Judge Jim Miller, will receive a gift certificate to Sports Authority. You guys ready for this?
Very much so.
Yeah. All right, let's begin the festivities.
I would like to do an Ask Jim section and let me be the judge, just to put him on the spot sometime,
you
maybe
know what?
In the future.
We'll
hold on. We can't be giving Tom gavels over there. No.
We will talk to the sponsors, and maybe for one of these shows later on in the year, we will switch the roles around. Let's begin the festivities, though, for Ask Tom first here on Bears All Access in Bourbon A with CJ. CJ, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, CJ.
Hey, Tom. My question is, it's kind of a comparison between Walter Payton and Matt Forte as to how you think Walter Payton would do in the era of football we're in now that Matt Forte is excelling in, and how Matt Forte would have done in the Walter Payton era as a running back. That's my question, and I'd love to hear what you got to say.
I think they'd both do great. As long as they got a supporting offensive line and a supporting system, they're both three down backs, and that's the key element of the two of them. You don't have to take them out if you get into any formation, any personnel packages, even any blitz look that you're facing against your opponent. Each one of these guys would succeed in any era they played in, I believe.
Register today at priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. When you look at the history, Tom, of Walter Payton and the NFL in general, is there anyone that's been remotely close to him when you factor in everything that this guy could do on a football field?
You know, in kind of size, stature, and complete ability of career, a guy like Emmitt Smith. I thought that Jimmy Johnson, when he first got attached to Emmitt Smith, he put a lot of carries into his hands. That was really the reason that team had the ability to succeed and then get to the next level. So when I see a guy that was able to accomplish the years of service that Emmitt Smith did on championship teams, and I know that he switched during his career and didn't finish with the flurry, but I respected everything that Emmitt did.
Want to remind you here on Bears All Access that you can join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to contests and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Here to ask Tom, best caller of the segment wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. And let's go back out to the phones. Daryl in Calumet City. Ask Tom.
Hey, Daryl.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I have a question, and it might be kind of technical, but what is the best type of defense for a zone-blocking team?
That's a good question. I think if you have a zone-blocking scheme now for an offensive line, is they're going to go to a general vicinity and try to create a hole. If it's not there, they let the defense run into their areas of responsibilities, and then they try to create a crease to the back sides, and that running back has to have vision and the ability to see it. To me, if you're going to have a zone blocking scheme that's going to take a lateral step and you have one defensive lineman that has the ability to penetrate in between those lateral steps and makes the play one-dimensional 100% of the time, and then you have more defenders on that one side, then I think that's the key element. If you have a defensive line that's passive, you're going to have a difficult time no matter what scheme they run. And I think that's one of the key elements that they've been so attracted to about the Tampa cover two, is the ability of a guy like Warren Sapp to make offenses look bad because he could penetrate at the snap of the ball. So, you know, that's the key of defensive line play, is getting across the line of scrimmage no matter what type of scheme you face.
Merrillville, Indiana. Jim, you're on Bears All Access. Ask
Hey,
Tom.
Jim.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fine. I'm fine. Back in the day, you know, maybe 20 years ago or so, used to hear people talk about a run blitz. And just seems like that's gone by the wayside. Do they still have such a thing as a run blitz, or do they call it something else, or what? And what exactly was that?
You know, well, run blitz is where really the linebackers are going to try to anticipate the snap count according to the formation and try to get into the gap before the offensive lineman can get into any type of combination block, where they start by moving the defensive lineman and getting to that second level. But nowadays, because the offensive minds are so sophisticated, if they get a predetermined look at a run blitz within the terminology of the football play, they'll already have an alternate plan built in. And that's when you hear Peyton Manning, Omaha, Omaha, or Jay Cutler going through the signs, the signals that he goes through to change the play according to the terminology already said in the huddle. That's the key, Jim, is that the fact that you can get out of it, even though you have a play called and you become susceptible getting hit in the face, you can make the play change immediately with one-word command.
So we've had callers in regards to run blitzes, running backs, and blocking. Do we go defense here? Let's find out. Northside, Garrett, you're on Bears All Access. Ask Tom.
Hey, Garrett. Garrett?
I'm Garrett Allen in the fold. I've heard that they're going to go after a safety in the draft, but doesn't it make sense to get another pass rusher, defensive tackle like Aaron Donald, knowing that the offense is going to put up points, and who they're playing, or they're going to have to throw the ball?
Garrett, I think you're exactly right, but I think the luxury the Bears have right now is whichever the best of the two positions is going to fall to them. Is it that dominating interior defensive tackle that, you know, Jim just called about what makes a good defense, and that's the penetration of the defensive line. But then again, I think the Bears are in a position, if you have the luxury of having that safety that everybody's trying to get for the length of their career, you got to take them. So I do believe, I don't think the Bears' hands are tied to have to take either of the one. I think they can take the dominant defensive tackle or the ability to go safety, even corner if the right guy falls to him.
It's been about 10 minutes since we last heard from Jim Miller, who's been judging this entire segment. So we go back to Jim now, and it is time for Jim to pick a winner during this Ask Tom segment. Someone, according to Jim, is going to Sports Authority with a gift certificate courtesy of Bears All Access. Who's the winner, Jim?
Well, I'll tell you what, all great calls tonight, Zach, but I'm going to go with Daryl from Calumet City. Talked about the best defenses to play to stop a zone blocking scheme, and so Daryl is the winner tonight. Great, all of them great questions, though, Zach.
Yeah, good hardcore X's and O's questions here on Bears All Access. Let's take a quick time out. When we come back, got an interesting question for you in regards to the pro day that was broadcast yesterday on TV. Jadeveon Clowney had his opportunity to impress NFL people a week after Johnny Manziel did so in front of a national television audience. We'll get your take next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrutti, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago. Or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Zach Zaidman along with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Guys, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a moment of levity in the baseball game that the Cubs played today, because their outfielder, Junior Lake, took the field in the first inning wearing the wrong jersey. So the rest of his team went out there with the right jersey. He wore the wrong jersey. Have you ever experienced anything like that, Jim, on the football field?
No, that has never happened. It'd be pretty embarrassing. There's no doubt about that. But no, you'd like to be locked and loaded and in the right uniform. I think if we were at home, I knew to go out with a home jersey. And when we were away, I knew we were going out with the away jersey. So it all worked out. And thank goodness Tony Medlin cleared it up for me, the equipment manager of the Bears. He had it laid out for us.
Well, you know, there was one time we were playing and we were getting ready to go out to the field, and they noticed that they spelled the name on Jay Hilgenberg's jersey wrong. And they spelled it Hilgeberg instead of Hilgenberg. And I think that was the only time. Then one of the coaches went and took a marker and put the real letter in there, and it really, really upset the equipment managers, and then they almost got into a confrontation just because they spelled the name on a 7-time Pro Bowler's jersey wrong.
Best friend a player can have in an organization, I think, is the equipment manager, because and his assistants, because if those guys are your friends, you're in good shape, right, guys?
You're always going to have fresh clothes, that's for sure.
All right, so Jadeveon Clowney, the South Carolina defensive end, who many project as the guy who's going to be the number one overall pick next month in the NFL draft, had his pro day yesterday. When you guys watched him, what were you looking for specifically, and do you believe that he indeed will be the number one pick of this draft? We'll start with you, Jim.
Yeah, I think when you look at him, he's got freakish ability. I just think, really, overall, when you look at it, you just look at the campaigns on like his behalf or Johnny Manziel's behalf. Does everybody forget about the headaches that they caused their team a year ago? Like for Johnny Manziel, you know, does everybody forget like Pat Sumlin with the head coach of Texas A&M had to deal with concerning Johnny Manziel? And I would say the same for Jadeveon Clowney. His skill sets are off the charts. And for that alone, he commands respect. And everybody just expects that he's going to be a great player. Otherwise, if he goes down as a bust, it'll be like the Tony Mandrich situation, because everybody's put him on such a pedestal. The bottom line is, when great players, doesn't matter who they are as draft picks, whether they're first rounders or sixth or seventh rounders, got to have the protocols in place, the right leadership to manage a player, whether it's coaches, players in the locker room, all those type of things. And I would think for for a player like Jadeveon Clowney, if Houston takes him number one overall, same things were said about Dontari Poe. If people don't know who Dontari Poe is, he was a first-round selection out of Memphis at the defensive tackle position. What was his label? Oh, he only goes hard every once in a while. Well, Romeo Crennel was his coach at the Kansas City Chiefs. Everybody realized that Dontari Poe is an incredible player right now in the National Football League because Romeo Crennel was the right coach to push his go buttons, and now he's at as a player. Guess who the defensive coordinator is down there for the Houston Texans? None other than Romeo Crennel. And then you've got high-motor players like J.J. Watt, Brian Cushing, leaders in the locker room that I think Jadeveon Clowney would absolutely be an excellent selection for them at number one overall.
Well, you know, the pro days I absolutely hate, and I just think they're the most ridiculous way to parade one player out there. And I know there's other guys that are being involved, but the way you go out there and go about, you know, running some drills in front of the group of scouts, if they don't have enough information on them right now, then they don't even know what they're looking at. And I think when you talk about the headaches that they've created during their career at college, it's only going to have a chance to be amplified because they're going to have so much time on their side, so much money, so many more people pulling at their strings that they had even when they were in college and had the prospects of being a great player. I get frustrated with the NFL when they try to make a big deal out of this guy because if he doesn't have the same enthusiasm to play the sport for 16 games a year, every game for hopefully 10 years, then you're just making too much out of him. And I need to see production. I don't want to see a player that I have to have J.J. Watt's attitude out there to make sure that he's the guy that we're going to pay for. I want a guy that looks forward to coming to the facility, that I don't have to beg him to make $5 million a year. All those types of things I kind of see as a negative. I want to see a player that's going to come in and be positive from day one, not where I have concerns about him, but he's going to come in and he's going to help that football team immediately. And I just don't think that's a guarantee. In my career, when Reggie White was coming out, that was a guarantee. Every way, shape, or form, attitude, character, enthusiasm, everything that was about him, he was going to be great. And I don't know, I just, some of these pro days, they frustrate me, and it's a little bit of a rant, but I just don't think of being that special.
To back up Tom's point, you don't go from 13.5 sacks to 3.5 if you're a great player. And he was not triple teamed, like everybody's saying, in Jadeveon Clowney.
Wow, I would not want to be a general manager then with that number one overall pick. Of course I would, because it gives you options, because there are enough teams out there that are just in awe of the freakish athletic ability that you can wheel and deal a little bit. But it is a very tough job.
T-shirt.
Love it.
Tom Thayer is along. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. When we come back, Evan Britton's back. How much more do the Bears need on offense? We've spent so much time talking about defense, but what's left offensively this offseason for the Bears? That's next, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. Now, this offseason, Phil Emery made sure that he was able to bring back the entire starting lineup offensively from the 2013 season, a team that averaged nearly 28 points per game. No team in the NFL outside of the Broncos scored more points than the Bears last season. And, you know, he's made sure that some of the backups are back too, including Evan Britton, who played a valuable role last season. But when you look now at the rest of the offseason, and there's been a heavy emphasis, and rightfully so, on fixing a defense that was in trouble last year, what more do the Bears need offensively as you look ahead to the 2014 season, Jim?
Well, it depends. You know, you look at a backup to Matt Forte. You know, do they believe that Michael Ford can really supplant and fill the role that Michael Bush was able to do when he was called upon? So they shed some money by releasing Michael Bush. So it's really Michael Ford's opportunity to see if he can step up and be the backup to Matt Forte. So I would say that would be one area if, God forbid, Matt Forte were to go down with an injury.
You know, for me personally, I still want to see who is the young quarterback mind that they're going to believe is that Mark Trestman is be able to get the system into his head and watch a young guy develop for years down the road. But then I need to see some young – I don't even know if you consider a guy like James Brown, the offensive lineman, young anymore. He needs to be the guy that comes in here, and he unseats a guy like Evan Britton. But because Evan Britton is such a competitor, he knows every position, he can contribute anywhere on the offensive line – that's a tough thing to unseat. But again, I need to see the development of a couple young offensive linemen in case that worst-case scenario happens and you need to plug someone in there quick to have an extended period of quality play. You give me that next offensive lineman and, you know, that next tight end behind Martellus Benton, or Bennett, behind Martellus Bennett, who's going to be that next tight end that's going to capitalize on their ability? There's a couple guys waiting in the wings. What are they, training camp too?
That's an interesting point that you bring up, Tom, because when you look at the offensive line overall, the only time that one of the starting linemen missed a snap was in the final game when Jordan Mills broke his foot and Evan Britton had to come in and take over that spot at right tackle. But at the quarterback position, Jay Cutler, when he's out there, did extremely well in Mark Trestman's system. But he's been banged up the last few years for a variety of different reasons, and the Bears were extremely lucky to have Josh McCown step in, and they were able to put themselves in a position where they still were fighting for a playoff spot down the stretch. Jim, are you comfortable with the new guy, a guy that was with the Bears at the tail end of the preseason, and they brought him back in Jordan Palmer at the tail end of the year after Cutler initially got hurt? Are you comfortable with him if he has to play long term if Jay Cutler should go down?
Well, yeah, I am uncomfortable. But, you know, obviously when you look at, you know, I got to believe Mark Trestman and Phil Emery have great intel of what they saw late in the year from Jordan Palmer. He does not come with a lot of playing experience. You know, I actually threw out a couple weeks ago potentially about Luke McCown, down there, who New Orleans ended up re-signing. So there probably is going to be somebody that's added to the roster. You'd like it to be somebody with the veteran experience, like a Josh McCown. Not to say that they have to have a overwhelmingly great experience in terms of, you know, starts logged in the National Football League. But at the end of the day, I think they want a point guard, somebody who distributes the football, makes the right decisions like Josh McCown did. If they feel comfortable with Jordan Palmer, they'll probably roll with him and draft another young guy that Tom just, you know, mentioned. But, you know, I think like anything else, experience. Because when you don't get a lot of snaps at practice and then you're called upon to play and you have to play at a starter's level, you have to be able to draw from that experience. And right now, Jordan Palmer does not have that experience to draw from.
You know, one thing, they do have the experience with Jordan, and I think the reason he's getting an opportunity second time around is because when he did come here in training camp last year and he had to play, he played half of the last game of the year, the Cleveland game in the preseason, correct?
Yeah.
And he did a really nice job of not having a lot of time around the terminology and around this system. So I do think that's one of the experiences evaluating a quarterback. It's not how hard they can throw the ball and how far it is. It's how intelligently do they understand the academic portions of the system to get the play called right and the ball thrown to the right person. And I think Jordan has earned an opportunity in the eyes and the minds of the evaluators around here to get that chance to come back.
And when it comes to a young quarterback, I think, Jim, you feel a lot more comfortable, and I'm sure Phil Emery does, that you have a guy like Mark Trestman where you can trust his opinion on guys that he's looking at in terms of the information he's getting from the scouts and when he watches video of certain guys.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I think he understands, in drawing from his experiences, just how important that meeting room is and how it needs to function and how important it relates to your organization. And he's actually commented on that. It needs to be a good atmosphere in that room. And so you can't be willy-nilly that you just bring in anybody. I think their attitude, how they conduct themselves, is just as important as compared to their play.
Guys, it was an action-packed hour, including our visit with Jared Allen. We'll see you next week.
We're done?
Yeah, we're done. It was that quick.
Oh, man, I got 2 hours worth of info.
Well, I'll tell you what, save it for, I believe we're on next Wednesday,
okay,
at 6 o'clock right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access for Jim Miller and Tom Thayer and Jared Allen. I'm Zach Zabin saying so long. Thanks for listening to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.